We're just going to spend a few minutes looking at some of the words from the passage that we're going to be reading today. So these are the key terms, the key words and ideas that are in Psalm 34. And the ones that are in bigger text tend to be the ones that will come up more often. And I'd like us to just spend a few minutes looking at this, reflecting on it, see what jumps out for you. What do you kind of, what clicks with you? Where do you feel you fit into that picture of words and ideas that are in Psalm 34? And then after that, we will hear it read. The whole psalm, Peter's going to come and read to us.
Okay, Peter, do you want to come and read the passage for us?
Okay. Good morning. This is Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear lack him nothing. And lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever loves your life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects from all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servant. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned.
Good morning. So we're going to look at Psalm 34 today, and I've given it a title. Well, I've given it two titles. Sorry. Remaining faithful in difficult times. That was my first title. And then a question, how do we stand strong for Christ in a world that's far from him? They're not easy to answer, are they? But we're going to look at Psalms. Now, you know that the book of Psalms, it's actually five books. It's a collection of prayers, of hymns, of songs, of poetry, written to remember certain incidents, to celebrate some events. Some are written as prayers of intercession, prayers of praise, and they're to be an encouragement to those who are singing them and to those who are listening. Some of the Psalms are personal prayers, some are corporate prayers, and all human emotion can be found in the book of Psalms. We often turn to Psalms, don't we, when we want to find something, some words to use to praise, to rejoice in the goodness of God and to glorify him for his majesty, for his power. But there are also some Psalms written about times when God's people were in distress, when they were in difficult circumstances and they cried out to God to deliver them. And we're going to look at one of those Psalms today because I believe that there are patterns that we can find here. There are ways of entering God's presence, ways to focus our minds on the goodness and faithfulness of God, even when help seems far away and the situation that we're in seems hopeless. And as we read about the events surrounding this psalm, we learn more about the character of God, about what's important to him. And we know that God doesn't change, so we can use what we learn here to apply those same truths to ourselves here and now. Last week we heard from Jonathan Edwards, didn't we? Psalm 146. He encouraged us to live a life, not a moment, but a whole life of praise. You and I know that our lives are roller coasters, aren't they? There are good times and there are bad times. There are times when we're feeling up and times when we're feeling down. There are times of peace and there are times of worry. So I have a very awkward mind sometimes. When somebody says something, live a life of praise, my brain goes, how, why, when, what about this, you know? And I'm the person that when somebody presents a project or something, I'm the one that sees all the issues that need to be worked out and done. And it's just the way my mind works. So I am still working through, and you're going to hear some of my thoughts, I'm afraid, how we live a life of praise. Yes, I fully agree with Jonathan, we need to do it, but how do we do it when times are tough? Let's see what we can find from this psalm. But I do feel you need a little bit of history as a background to this psalm. So if you've got your Bible and you want to do some flipping through, we're in 1 Samuel, and I'm going to give you a little bit of what led up to this psalm being written. Saul is king, but he has now decided that he doesn't really need God as much as he thought he did in the beginning. He's rebelling against God. He's feeling very self-sufficient. Thinks he doesn't need to obey every word that God says. He can pick and choose which words he wants to obey and which bits he wants to ignore. He even set up a monument to himself. In 1 Samuel 15... Samuel the prophet warns Saul about God's anger because of his behavior, but Saul rejects God's commands again and again. And so eventually, God rejects Saul as king. And Samuel the prophet and Saul the king part their ways. Following a message from God, Samuel then anoints David as king, even though Saul is still on the throne. We've got the story of David and Goliath, which I'm sure most people, if they know anything about Bible stories, know that one, where God, not David, where God killed the giant. David comes to the royal court as a skilled harp player whose music helps to soothe Saul when he's depressed or when he's frustrated, when he's cowering in fear. And David finds favor in Saul's eyes and eventually becomes his armor bearer. But over time, Saul becomes jealous of David and his popularity and the missions that he accomplishes for the king and all the good things that happen to him. 1 Samuel 18:12 says, Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. And Saul begins to plot to kill David. There are numerous attempts made to kill David, and David flees from the court of the king and spends the next number of years hiding from Saul and moving around the country just to stay alive. Sometimes he goes to seek refuge in a neighboring kingdom, but most of the rulers were too afraid to incur the wrath of King Saul by having him stay there, so they send him.